They're blue, they're two apples high, and they're in New York City. We sell the Smurfs, so you know what time it is.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater. Did you know you wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? As always, I am joined by Jason and June, both who are not in studio. So say hello.
How's it going? What's up, Smurfs?
So you'll see there might be, this is the first time where two of the guest hosts are not in studio, but we have someone fantastic in the studio, the amazingly talented, hilariously funny, Paul F. Tompkins.
Well, hello everyone, including listeners.
Hello. So, all right, we don't normally do kids movies, but this one looked spectacularly bad, and so we decided to do the Smurfs. Now, I was trying to figure out how to describe it, and I think this clip right here kind of does a great job.
It says here, Smurfs are mythical creatures from Belgium, also known as Strumpfs, documented by Peyo.
Also says that they bring good luck, like leprechauns to the Irish.
Okay, to review. You guys come from a magic forest where you live in oversized mushrooms.
Yes.
You're being chased by an evil wizard.
Yeah.
And you're trapped in New York until there's a blue moon.
Very good.
And you like to use the extremely imprecise term Smurf for just about everything.
Smurf, exactly.
That basically is an encapsulation of the entire movie.
I had to relive that. I just saw the movie. I just came here from seeing the movie.
I did too, Paul.
I saw it last night. I'm glad that we all saw the movie. As one of the requirements, we have succeeded.
But you at least had some time away from it, Paul.
I've digested it.
Yes.
I had a night to sleep on it, and
I'm still there.
Well, the thing that stuck out to me, the biggest thing was the moral of the main story with Neil Patrick Harris. Neil Patrick Harris is like having this very adult subplot about his wife being pregnant.
Yes.
Him not really wanting the baby.
Yeah.
And then also having this this problem with his work where he's not able to get out his real voice.
Yeah.
This is a children's movie.
Yeah.
That was baffling, though. It's like when he was about to send out the version of the Angelou or whatever it was called, like visual pitch that he really wanted to send, and he sent the other one saying like, ugh, I'm gonna play it safe this time. I honestly, and maybe I'm retarded, I did not understand what that blue moon and lake had to do with the cosmetic line.
Who? By the way, guys, why is there a cosmetics company in the middle of this goddamn movie?
Yeah.
This is like fucking sports marketing in Old Dogs.
But Jason, was it a cosmetics company? Because then at a certain point, I was like, oh, it's a skincare line.
No, it's like, I thought it was like perfume.
Okay, this cosmetics company, I'm so confused at it. So he's making a billboard, and he goes, okay, I'll send it out tonight. This will be on every billboard tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
And it was like late night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're just waiting on this.
The guy who's making the sort of advertising campaign for this cosmetics line is also working the events, like setting up posters and stuff at the event.
Yeah,
like,
And she keeps on, and so the boss is
loading boxes.
Yeah, exactly.
Sofia Vergara is like the head of the cosmetics company from Modern Family, and she's like, I'm gonna fire you, but we'll see how it works tonight. See how what works? How people react to a billboard?
Yeah, a billboard that, okay, we've never seen any of this stuff, but we're just going to go ahead and make a bunch of billboards as soon as you email that poster. It didn't make any, for a kids movie.
You know what kids care about? Advertising campaigns on billboards?
Yeah.
Put it in the movie.
And that was the thing. It was like an adult subplot. Like, Jemima Mills' whole thing about, like, he doesn't want a baby.
Yeah.
He doesn't, like, what? Why are kids watching this? This is not for them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I understand, like, the idea of, like, a kid's movie, you want to throw in some stuff for the parents to keep them interested, but do you want to throw in something depressing for the parents? Like,
no.
That's like me. I'm saddled with these stupid kids.
Why am I at this stupid movie? Oh, right, it's because of these dumb things. I'm with Neil Patrick Harris. These kids stink.
These dumb things.
The most baffling moment, though, to me, was when Sofia Vergara looked up at the moon or looked at the campaign and said, finally, somebody got what I wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah, she, Sofia Vergara wanted, she like basically, I mean, to even describe what happens, Papa Smurf, Papa Smurf needs a blue moon to travel back to Smurf Village. Yeah,
it has to be literally blue.
Yes.
Yeah.
It has to be a blue moon. So they're doing some sort of magic, and but Neil Patrick Harris is so entranced by the idea of a blue moon on Wikipedia that he just kind of photoshops it into like playing around with it. And
honestly,
then,
this movie, this our entire show right now should not be us. It should be the 8-year-olds who are sitting around me watching the movie who kept all going, where's Gargamel going? Where's the cat? What's Papa Smurf doing? Literally, it was impenetrable what was fucking happening.
Well, to me, this summed it up to me the best. There is a kid sitting next to me at the screening who just said, turned to her father and says, what's fired? Oh! Did not understand the concept of why that was a risk.
It's weird that this movie combined the general laziness that you see in children's movies, but also like him being involved in advertising somehow is like the laziness of adult movies as well. You know, it's like always the most hackneyed job that somebody can have in a movie is advertising.
And it's because it's kind of sexy, but it's
it's so much work. It's like leftover from Rock Hudson and Doris Day movies, you know, when that was kind of a, you know, like a cool profession, like, oh, he's an ad executive.
It is. It's baffling that takes up so much screen time. I mean, we have little Smurfs.
Also this strange point of contention between Neil Patrick Harris and Jemima Mills where he wants to move into a bigger place and she, who's about to have a baby, does not want to.
Yeah.
And then the Smurfs justify it by saying, no, if you're in a smaller place, you get to be together more.
Yeah.
But
agrees.
Yeah, she likes that.
Yes.
By the way, Jemima Mills looked like she was flirting with Clumsy Smurf there when they had their little like thing on the windows.
It was on TMZ that there was like an onset romance.
with Jemima Mills and a tennis ball on a stick?
Yep.
I know we have not talked about the Smurfs yet, but there's too much stuff in here to before we even get to the Smurfs, I want to talk about Tom Colicchio, Joan Rivers,
oh my God,
Michael Musto,
Liz Smith.
Why were they in this movie?
And Tim Gunn.
Tim Gunn in his dramatic debut.
Tim Gunn had his own title card.
Yeah, I'm glad this is the project he chose for his first foray into acting.
Tim Gunn is the right-hand man of Sofia Vergara, and it looks like someone is holding a gun to him off camera at all times, making him say his line.
He is almost like a trained animal in this movie. Like, that's what his performance is like. Like, they smeared a bunch of peanut butter in his mouth to make him talk. It's so weird. Like, it's like somebody dropped out, like, at the very last minute, like, Tim, could you be in this movie?
Okay, I guess. I mean, he looks less real than the Smurfs. Yeah,
Paul Giamatti got food poisoning. Could you please play Sofia Vergara's right-hand man?
No, I feel like it would have been Alan Cummings.
Alan Cummings is the voice.
That's another thing. Like,
was a Smurf.
Yeah, Alan Cummings as Mike Myers as that Smurf.
I want to play. Did anyone tell him that there is a successful CGI character that sounds exactly like him? Here is, just so you know, here is a clip of the Alan Cummings Shrek Smurf.
Oh. Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
There it is.
Oh, sorry, boys.
Whoa, that cools the giblets. Nothing like a cool breeze through my enchanted forest.
It's a Shrek Smurf there.
What's so weird is Alan Cumming is Scottish, isn't he?
I think
like,
he is.
Why isn't he just using his own voice? Why is he doing like that sort of guttural like Shrek voice?
I think he found out that.
Why do any of them have accents?
Well, that's a whole broader. That's more of a Smurf problem than
it's a bigger question.
Smurf movie.
We can't unpack that today.
Yes. Why is there ethnic diversity amongst the Smurfs
when they all look exactly
all
alike?
The same place.
They all come from the same place. Exactly. There's no regions.
No, they live in a very small village.
They're one village.
They're all, but they were delivered by a stork. Not Papa Smurf.
Yeah.
No, just Smurfette, right? Well, oh, no, all of them were.
Smurfette was
except
oddly...
Smurfette. Smurfette's the only one that wasn't.
Who was created by Gargamel,
But then, oh well. They say this as if like that needs no further explanation.
Exactly.
Like we're all so up to speed on the lore of the Smurfs. Which are they on TV anymore?
No, they haven't been on TV for years.
So even so even kids would be lost. Like, hold on a second. How did he make her? Like what out of what? She's like some golem or something.
And the only explanation for it was he made me to infiltrate the Smurf village, but then Papa Smurf let me know that I'm actually a Smurf inside. I was like, okay. But now, meanwhile, if she was created by Gargamel, then how, when Azrael the cat ate Smurfette's hair, was he able to like extract Smurf from her?
Yes,
because she's not a Smurf. She's a creature. She's a made up Smurf.
Yeah. So if he's able to make these things himself, he's got all the magic that he needs, so he doesn't need to slaughter any the whole civilization.
And the whole reason why Gargamel wants to slaughter them is, I guess, Smurf essence is magic.
Yeah.
So he can
magic he can use to destroy Smurfs.
Which brings you to the opening scene where Gargamel, basically 9/11, the Smurf village, comes in and wrecks buildings and kills Smurfs. That's a very uncomfortable opening scene.
Sheer, I like that we're using 9/11 as a verb now.
He 9/11'd them.
He 9/11'd them.
He 9/11'd that Smurf town, and then Papa Smurf, who is the leader, just runs off by himself with a handful of Smurfs. Like, get out of here! Let's go! Leaving the rest of the Smurf village to die. Oh,
so the Smurfberries, what was their significance? What were they for? Like, why were they so precious? Like, there was an emergency.
No, because the Smurfs don't have any powers on their own.
No, were you saying that they get powers from the Smurfberries?
Is that where they're?
Do you want me to look this up right now? I mean, do we need an answer? What's going on here?
I am curious about where
berries were just like food.
Because when the 9/11ing was happening, the Papa Smurf hit a button and it's an emergency Smurf berries. Yeah.
Broke some glass, grabs this backpack of emergency Smurf berries. What the fuck are Smurf berries?
Because you don't know, because everything has a Smurf in front of it.
Yes.
Yeah, everything is Smurf.
Yeah.
Everything.
And towards the end of the movie, like a lot of Smurf standing in for dirty words.
Yes.
Like
a lot of dirty Smurf.
Yeah. Oh, which also.
Go ahead.
A brief sidebar. I texted Paul from the movie theater today because I was angry that I had to sit through the trailers that I saw. There was one for the new Spy Kids movie.
Yes.
Which is in 4D.
Yes.
The fourth dimension involves aroma. Smell. And they show a theater full of kids, like, simultaneously holding up these cards and sniffing them. And it looks so culty and weird. Like, it's so Hail Bop to me.
The previews before this movie basically made me go, oh, the successful thing for a kids movie is to dance to a song that was popular in the 80s.
Yeah,
that was basically it. Yeah. Like, everyone involved in dancing. It's like the two Wild Thing. Movie. Oh, the Squeakquel.
The Chipmunks movie, like the official website for it is monkyourself.com.
Yeah.
Which, what does that mean?
Everything is a curse.
Is it a curse? Or
Smurf
is it like,
happens,
what is it? I don't understand.
Fuck yourself.
Yeah, if it's not fuck yourself, then what is it?
And why would you want to say fuck yourself when talking about the Chipmunks?
You want to learn more about the Chipmunks? Go monk yourself.
Go monk yourself. And I was going to say that the Smurf.
Hey, guys, I just looked it up. It's actually a website dedicated to Tony Shalhoub's character, Monk. If you go to Monk Yourself, it really is pretty funny.
They're getting that crossover audience.
Yeah.
I was going to say that Eskimos have 99 words for snow. Smurfs have one word for everything.
Yeah.
There is, because it doesn't make, there's no grammatical sense of why.
No. And sometimes it's part of a word? Smurfzackly?
Yeah.
Well, what?
I want to talk about this cat. So Gargamel is paired up with a cat.
By the way, best performance in the movie.
The cat
best, most believable actor was the cat Azrael.
The cat looks like one of those tidy cat, like the ones that cross their legs, like, ooh, I don't want to pee. It's like that one of those gross cats.
It's really disturbing, actually. I found that cat to be really, really upsetting.
I did not like it at all.
I
gotta say, when that cat threw up the Smurfette's hair, that was disgusting.
Yes.
Oh,
I found Azrael's performance transcendent.
Did you like the part where Azrael was licking her balls? Or I guess Azrael, I always imagine Azrael as a female cat.
Right.
So I guess she was licking her vagina.
Well, there was a funny joke where Azrael is on top of Gargamel's head.
Yes.
And Gargamel says, oh, Azrael, you're a male. I had no idea.
Oh, right. Exactly.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
May I say, though, I thought Hank Azaria was actually funny in this. He had some moments. So I
agree.
I always admire when somebody commits to a thing and they're like, not only am I not going to walk through this, I'll actually try to add something to it.
I totally agree.
Genuinely funny moments. 100%. Yeah.
And I would actually say that Neil Patrick Harris did he came in, he was working. He delivers a 2-minute dramatic monologue about the purpose of,
oh my God,
of believing in yourself and not second guessing yourself that has no business in this movie at all, but is delivered in such a way that you're like, wait, what happened here? He's like, I will never turn my back on you. I love you. I want to have kids. Yeah. I believe in me. I believe in myself.
But I got to say, in the beginning, he seemed to want kids just fine.
Yeah, like, yes, exactly.
He seemed to be totally okay with being a dad.
He comes out of nowhere. It's like, I don't want little people running around here. Like, where'd that come from?
Basically,
if I was a parent and I brought my kids to this movie, I'd be like, oh no, they're going to have a lot of fucked up questions to ask.
Yes.
Because he comes home, and the biggest thing you could say bad about Neil Patrick Harris's character is that when asked to put his ear to his wife's belly to hear the kicking or whatever, he spoke in a robot voice. He said, oh, hello, baby.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, why are you speaking in a robot voice?
He was
voice?
Embarrassed by it. Yeah.
Yeah. That was the worst thing, but they seemed happy.
Yes, absolutely.
And he's reacting
not
to having...
Not only that, but when she said, oh, you're not going to be able to make it to the sonogram appointment tomorrow, he tries to move things around.
Yes,
so
yes,
yes.
But yeah, so he tries to move things around to get to the sonogram, but then misses it. Anyway,
he got everything done. Yeah. How did he miss it? I missed where he missed it.
But why do we care? Guys, why do we care? This is a movie about goddamn Smurfs. I don't need, why do I need to go to a sonogram appointment? Even, like, I feel like the meetings for this movie might have been like, I'm loving a lot of this Smurf stuff, but can we put in a huge A story about them having a baby?
Yeah.
And more humans would be good.
Yeah, we really got to raise the stakes for the non-Smurfs in the movie.
Yes.
I also love that Sophia Barker's character, who is, I guess, the CEO of this company, Angelo, was doing like a presentation, a hands-on presentation in the lobby of the building.
Yeah.
On her
with
mother.
Her mom.
On her mom, who Gargamel comes in and then makes young. And then no one is really, it's like, oh, what kind of makeup magic do you have? The woman literally transformed from an old woman.
Yeah.
And because everyone's playing it real for the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this old woman, this 80-year-old woman transformed into like a 20-year-old woman. But I did think in the beginning, I was like, wow, that old woman looks weird. It was just a 20-year-old woman that they gave a lot of makeup to. I have to say that I thought Jonathan Winters, who played Papa Smurf, sounded as if he was recording it in a closet. It sounded like
he sounded miles away.
It was like they
I heard
woke him out of
he recorded his whole part on a Zune.
It was like, it was also like they woke him out of a deep sleep and made him do the lines.
What do I say? All right, let's get the Smurf out of here.
So at first I thought it was Garrison Keillor.
You know, Garrison Keillor is like a real life Smurf. He has his little village they talk about, like Wobegon. He is Papa Smurf. He's the human version of Papa Smurf. But the basic part, the whole thing of that movie was,
I would like those two cultures to go to war.
Yeah.
Smurfs and the people, the Lutherans of Lake Wobegon.
Do you want the Smurfs to 9/11 Lake Wobegon?
I want Lake Wobegon to be
Kester
like
Mr. Vanquist versus Papa Smurf.
It would be like, that's a Wobegon Misty or whatever. I don't know how to get Wobegon into words. But the one thing, the whole movie is built on not even lies, but horrible miscommunications. Neil Patrick Harris literally says to the Smurfs, I work in an ad agency. I need to hand in these ads. I need to go to work for an ad agency. He leaves. Not a minute later, Papa Smurf's like, We need to find a stargazer. Oh, Neil Patrick Harris, he's a stargazer. No, he's not. He just told you he's an ad exec. There was no
never mentioned stargazing at all. Not even anything close to it.
And then they have to go off and go to his work and annoy him at work, where he has 8 Smurfs all around his desk playing with his fans.
Yeah.
He really hates it.
Where he explains to them, I don't have a stargazer, but so they just stay there.
And what is so hard about getting these fucking things a telescope?
Yeah,
that's what a stargazer is.
He couldn't figure that out.
Telescope.
I figured it out.
Yeah,
that's what a stargazer was.
You know what? If you need to get your work done, get them a goddamn telescope and don't let them run around your glass cube office like nobody would notice.
Well, there was that one woman who was vaguely interested in what was going on.
Yeah, she just looked through the window. But not too much.
No, no. Oh, are those living tiny creatures running around and
blue weird creatures? I do like also.
It's rain.
He has to hide them as they go into work, so he shoves them all in his jacket. And there's a great example of ADR. Like, oh, we need some jokes here. It's like, watch your hand. That's not my hand. It's like, this is a children's movie here.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about Smurf penises in other Smurfs.
But if you don't, just Google Smurf porn, which I just did.
Oh, why did you do it?
And there are some real options, guys.
Well, Smurf... Smurf
live Fett. Action and animated.
Smurf Fett alludes.
Live action. I just Googled the same thing. I'm really upset.
Oh my God. What's wrong with you guys? Paul, don't do it.
I won't do it.
Paul, just reach for his laptop.
Everybody who's listening on your computer, Google Smurf porn and enjoy.
Then go 9/11 yourself.
I will talk about Smurf Fett, too sexual. She said,
way too sexual.
I kissed a Smurf and I liked it.
Right. That was funny for no one.
Yeah.
Well, it's Katy Perry is the voice, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
What a great inside joke.
But also weird. And Smurfette was oddly sexual when her dress blew up and all the guys.
The Marilyn Monroe thing.
Yeah, yeah.
This is not cool, you guys.
Yeah.
This is not cool to do.
She basically comes out and is like, hi, guys. Do you like my new dress? And is borderline gangbanged by all the Smurfs.
They pass out.
That is maybe not a completely fair representation of what happened.
I think it is time to definitely talk about the music video scene in the movie where Neil Patrick Harris plays Guitar Hero.
Oh my God.
Interminable. And was it double the length of the song?
It felt double the length to walk this way. Again, so proving the rule that you need to have an 80s song in a movie.
Yep.
Neil Patrick Harris plays guitar. He goes, all right, well, my work's done. Let's chill out and play Guitar Hero with the Smurfs. Now, Guitar Hero's old. It's not a new thing.
No.
And they shoot this thing like the worst MTV video, like Dutch angles from beneath him rocking out on this guitar, and the Smurfs are rocking out. They're making references to Gene Simmons. Like, who's Gene Simmons? Never mind. Terrible, terrible. Like, why? Why would you need that?
Well,
in this
movie? then the Smurfs, the craziest part to me was like, he's playing along with Walk This Way, and then the Smurfs know the song and have written full-blown Smurf lyrics to it.
Yes. Yeah.
That was the part that I was like, oh, well, this is just completely insane.
Yeah.
I was with this movie until now.
I don't
know. No way.
But I do have
to
say.
By the way, I got to point something out, too. It's like, I didn't know which Smurf we were supposed to be following. Like, whose story was this?
They're all kind of one Smurf. It's a very communist world. The only difference is the jobs they do.
Yeah. It was briefly, I guess at times, it was Clumsy's story.
Yes, Clumsy seemed to be the one who the
of non-transformation.
Journey for Clumsy.
Yeah, his story of non-transformation.
Joseph Cornell's hero's journey for Clumsy Smurf.
I love Joseph Cornell.
Joseph Cornell.
Joseph Campbell, sorry. Who's Joseph Cornell?
Just for a second. The end of this movie, by the way, culminates in a Warriors, from the movie The Warriors, style fight scene where they go, we're going to rescue Papa Smurf. Neil Patrick Harris grabs a aluminum baseball bat and a crowbar. And they're all marching into Central Park to beat the shit out of Gargamel.
Yeah.
No magic, just to beat him.
Pure violence. But we're also going to drop a bowling ball on him.
Yeah.
Like, that is, you
get, well, then the other Smurfs from the village arrive with, like, such a wide assortment of props.
Yeah. Mostly catapults and golf balls.
Yeah. Well, and the only thing that seems to affect Gargamel is an egg.
Mostly we're going to her with catapults, golf balls, and some shrimp forks.
Yeah.
But Gargamel gets so affected by one egg on his face. He gets angry. Like, oh, this egg.
Too much. Too much for me.
Oh my gosh. And then when they finally defeat Gargamel, he has this magic wand, which Papa Smurf breaks over his knee and then basically just tosses 5 feet away in a lake.
Yeah.
A lake next to Gargamel's castle. It's like, all right.
Yeah.
Get rid of this.
Yeah.
Next to the bad guy's castle. It's like saying, oh, we'll get rid of this. Put it in the bad guy's glove box. Here you go. He'll never find it.
I'm not so familiar with New York City. Is there a castle in Central Park?
Yes. Belvedere Castle. Yes.
And what is it? Real. What is it for?
I mean, I imagine there's a lot of abandoned circus equipment in there to make your magic happen. Like,
definitely an old popcorn.
Where Gargamel lives.
But then at the end of the movie, Gargamel is homeless. He's like out on the street.
Yes. Gargamel. Yeah, it stays in the Earth world. The Smurfs go back to Smurfland. Gargamel stays in New York, gets hit by a bus, and the bus doesn't stop. The bus continues driving down Fifth Avenue with Gargamel attached to the front, going, oh, great.
Yeah.
But then that really severely hurts your sequel opportunities that Gargamel is stuck in New York.
Yeah.
Although I would like to see the sequel of that.
Just Gargamel. I guess it's Gargamel is going to somehow summon them back to Earth, right?
I hope.
But I don't think even for a kid's movie, like a cartoony kind of thing, I don't think you should like show somebody getting hit by a bus.
No. Yeah. Getting hit by a bus or all the cat abuse. There's a lot of cat abuse in this movie.
With a very realistic looking cat.
Yes.
You know?
It's just kicking and throwing.
The cat's ear is lost.
Oh, yeah. The cat gets the most battle damage. His ear is plucked out.
Oh, because in the cartoon, he has a notch out of his ear or something.
Which is great for the purists to find out how he got that.
Oh, speaking of which.
I also love that the big like moral for the Smurfs was that when Papa Smurf said to Clumsy Smurf, I shouldn't have believed in I believed in a vision more than I believed in you. That was the honest. It's like, that's what we were following this whole time? That is our takeaway?
Papa Smurf believed that. Papa Smurf trusted his vision. He divine will. Yeah. Our will versus, what is it? Free will versus divine intervention.
Predetermined.
Yeah.
Predestination. Yeah.
It's a very heady movie.
Needlessly heady movie.
I swear. And then I also swear that there was a laugh track in the movie when Gargamel goes to jail.
Yes.
And he's in prison for a few beats.
Wearing an orange jumpsuit.
Yeah.
Yes.
But wearing an orange jumpsuit over his cape. You can see his cape, under.
Exactly. And then he is saved by a bunch of mosquitoes or flies.
Yeah.
Which
is disturbing, by the way.
Oh, it was a terrifying image.
Yeah.
And he kept on slamming his head into a clear basketball, like a backboard.
Yeah.
But I swear to God, there was a laughter there. And I was like, what is that? Is that like, did they add in a laugh track? And it's not a laugh track. It's the prisoners going, ooh, ha, 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 ha. Ooh, ha, ha, ha. The prisoners are supplying a laugh track for the movie, for the physical comedy.
Wow.
Not surprised that a grown man is being cocooned by flies and is now flying out of the jail cell.
Why are we seeing prison in a children's movie? Why is that happening?
Yes.
Why are we seeing two gigantic thugs about to pummel him to death?
Beat up Gargamel. It was a scary moment. Gargamel in the real world is...
Somebody... But Gargamel... Here's the thing. Gargamel was being bullied, and he needed to be told it gets better.
Another...
I did think that homeless guy did a great job.
Oh, my God. That was not cool. There is a straight up... homeless, like a crazy homeless dude in the movie. Oh, by the way, in the credits, his character is listed as Bum.
Oh, I didn't even stay for that.
Yeah, not even a homeless man. Not like, oh, homeless man, I guess that's too rough for the kids. Let's call him a bum.
Oh, Gargamel's
friend. Did you guys stay for the post-credit scene, guys?
Oh, wait, there's a post-credit scene?
Now I texted Paul and I said, is there anything that happens after the credits?
I said no.
And he said no.
It's the Smurfs and the Avengers. It's a trailer for the Avengers. No, there isn't. But there was that scene during the credits with Gargamel.
Yes, Gargamel, where he's upset.
Looking at?
The post-credit sequence is a lot of Jemima Mills and Neil Patrick Harris and their new baby and their new life.
Oh, that slideshow. But I mean, was there anything at the very very, did anybody stay through the very, very end?
I didn't stay till once the Gargamel scene happened, like late into the credits, I was like, there's nothing else.
Okay. I want to, you know, I know that we've talked a lot of so bad defeated. Things.
There's nothing else.
There's nothing for me here.
For me.
For
you.
Guys,
you know what?
We just watched the movie.
Smurf porn right now.
We watched Papa Smurf get tortured. There's a full on Papa Smurf torture scene in this movie.
That was upsetting.
He got Gitmo'd. They Gitmo'd him. Yeah. They Gitmo'd him.
So obviously we have our problems with it, but it's now time for a second opinion. You see, people on Amazon have written in with some reviews of the movies. I want to read them out to you guys and see what you guys think. This is a review of the movie. Adults with kids' hearts will love this movie. Other adults with kids will like it. And a few may not like it. But if you have young kids, watch it with them. They'll thank you. If you don't have young kids, you probably won't watch this movie. But there are some real funny parts.
Wow.
This is another one.
Really covered all the angles.
I loved it. The Smurfs were funny. The villain was exactly how he was in the cartoon. The movie was great. The movie was perfect. Everyone will love it.
Wow. That is bold. The movie was perfect. The movie was great.
Everyone will love it.
The movie was perfect.
I am a Smurf.
Everyone will love it.
Another review was, Smurfette took on a larger role in this film version, and some of you would be surprised to find out she can actually do if you gave the Smurfs a film version a shot.
She can actually do.
She can actually.
There you go, doubters.
George Lopez was even one of the Smurfs. Can't remember which Smurf because the end credits were too quick. One of my friends made a comment, but I can't recall it now.
I wonder if it was the one with the Latino accent.
Wait, the end credits were too quick?
Too quick.
Oh, they raced by.
and she
my neck hurts.
She concludes by saying, you'll really miss out if you don't support the Smurfs.
What? Support them.
I'm very excited to hear that McDonald's is supporting the Smurfs by selling small Smurfs. You must buy them now.
Oh, boy, wait a minute. That sounds like some product placement.
Oh, my gosh. So some people are on Amazon are absolutely loving it.
McDonald's, out of the goodness of their hearts, they are supporting the Smurfs.
Smurfette can actually do if gave.
She can if gave. Why? Well, everybody said she couldn't if she was gave.
Oh, my gosh. Any final thoughts here before we get to our quick viewer mail?
May I say,
yes.
I saw this movie accompanied by no one. I did not go. First of all, I do not have a child's brain or heart. I did not have any kids with me. I was one of five people in the theater.
Not bad.
And there were only two kids there. There was two couples. Only one of the couples had kids. And I was there by myself. And I know I made people sad. I know that the other people in the theater saw me, this adult by himself with my popcorn watching the Smurfs, and I know they were like, oh, that poor guy.
You may have made people sad. I feel like I may have trumped you because I was in a theater with about 12 families,
right?
All of Latino descent. There was a lot of Spanish being spoken throughout the movie, and
they knew who George Lopez was.
They did, and they appreciated every joke. And I was alone and sitting with a notebook in hand, scribbling down thoughts.
Well, at least you look like a reviewer. I was just there by myself.
I look like a crazy person keeping notes. Like, gotta remember.
Oh, we didn't talk about this.
The movie is all about conveniences and plot contrivances, but one of my favorites is a man with a leaf blower on Fifth Avenue. When is a leaf blower?
That's right.
He's blowing, right. And the
and
street is lined with...
It's a leaf sucker as
yeah,
well.
He's oh, yeah. actually, yes, he's actually removing the leaves.
From
one of my favorite moments is when the Smurfs are going to bed, that one that night where Papa Smurf has been staring at a constellation, and Smurfs are going to bed, and one of them says, oh, God, this is my first night away from the village. And then another Smurf says, well, and this is not played as a joke. He goes, yeah, well, we were here last night, too, but this is the first night. You know, we were hardly able to sleep last night.
It's an animated character is, like, correcting the movie's terrible writing.
Yes, like they forgot, like, yes, exactly.
I guess there was no time last night to get this moment of heart.
Well done. Dum-dum, we were here last night. Just tuck yourself into your stupid oven mitt and go to sleep.
I also want to point out that
there are moments like that, like when they come through the whirlpool to the first day they land in Central Park.
Yes,
yeah. They all get shot out into a body of water, and over like someone's shot, you can hear Smurfette in the background going, "Oh wow, look, we're not wet." It's like,
that's like my favorite line.
My God,
guys, that is not a line Smurfette says in the porno.
She can do if gave.
She could do if gave.
Please. One thing that really sincerely bugged me, was the character of Brainy Smurf.
Yes.
It's constantly correcting people or pointing out the actual thing that people should be saying, and everybody hates him, and it's just the whole supporting that this is not a great thing to be reinforcing with kids. Yeah. Like, smart people, no. It's not good to be smart. Smart people are annoying. If somebody knows more than other people, they are annoying and should be shouted down all the time. Tell those people with their knowledge to shut up.
This movie sent bad messages
all around
across the board. Yes. I also do like that.
By the way, I'm sorry, Paul.
Yes.
Why did Neil Patrick Harris all of a sudden, while in the middle of Times Square, reach into his jacket and pull out a card from Jaima Mills with that sonogram?
Could it be his first picture?
Jaima Mills actually put it in his jacket, like, hey, when you're at work today, look at this sonogram of our baby.
While there are Smurfs in their house, she has time to go to the card store to buy a card to put a picture of the sonogram.
Well, and by the way, we're missing
she would have cards.
She's going to find it in there.
By the way, that would have been a great scene, the Smurfs at the sonogram location.
Why were we spared that? Why wasn't that in the movie? a Smurfogram.
The Smurfs get in her uterus. Neil Patrick Harris also at one point in the movie, when he has a heart to heart with Papa Smurf, brings Papa Smurf a full cup of coffee, like a human sized cup of coffee, which Papa Smurf takes. That would kill him. I would imagine that would kill him. Yeah. Considering they're all living off of blueberries.
There's a kid behind me who goes, "Smurfs drink coffee?"
Yes. Why are you teaching that? All right. Every week we ask you guys to participate in a quick game with us. This week we asked you to be as vulgar as you could be, but using the word Smurf. So we call this segment "You Got Mail."
You got mail, baby. Yeah.
Ooh, is that Alan Cumming?
All right. Here are some of the ones. They were very dirty. almost too dirty to even read.
Because this is a family show.
Yes. So I'll just read this one. Tyler Johnson, "Yo, yo, I'll smurf your smurf hole closed and keep smurfing you and smurfing you and smurfing you. I smurfed her so hard in her smurf that she lost control of her smurf and smurfed all over my smurf," by Josh Link. And then a lot of them just used a lot of cursing, which totally defeated the purpose. You can't put
fucking smurf.
Yeah, you can't put a lot of smurf in there. He smurfed all over my futon. But this is one I found great. Eric Fine just replaced all the words of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme song. So it's like, "Now this is the story of how my smurf got all smurfed upside down, and now I'd like to take a smurf, just sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the smurf of a smurf called Smurf. And West Smurf, I was born and raised on the smurf, where I spent most of my days smurfing out smurfing and all the smurf and shooting some B-smurf outside the smurf, when a couple of smurfs who were up to no smurf started making smurf in my smurfhood. I got one little smurf and my mom got smurfed. She said, 'You're smurfing with your smurfy and your smurfy smurf air.'" That is from Eric Fine.
That's pretty funny.
That was actually my favorite one.
Nice.
Thank you all for listening to a new episode of How Did This Get Made? That was the Smurfs. Don't go see this movie.
No, do not. No.
And if
unless you have a child's heart.
And if you were
in your pocket.
Unless you've killed two children and feel bad about it. For fans of the podcasting, Paul F. Tompkins has one of my favorite podcasts.
It's true!
The Pod F. Tomcast. If you have not listened to it, which I'm sure you have, but resubscribe, rate and review it. It's great. Anyone have anything to plug?
If I may, an additional plug.
Yes.
If you're going to be in Los Angeles, when does this drop?
Monday.
So you're going to be in Los Angeles August 20th. You can see my show at Largo, the Paul F. Tompkins Show, featuring special guest Paul Scheer.
I'm very excited. And you give the best. I think that's one of my favorite shows in Los Angeles.
Thank you very much, Paul. I appreciate that. It's a fun show. It's a variety show. It's music by Michael Penn. There will be surprise guests. It's very exciting. And tickets, you can find a ticket link at paulftompkins.com.
Sophia Vergara, is she in the Paul F. Tompkins?
Oh, I wish she were. Oh, my God. I think I would I would fall down if I saw her in person.
As always, June and I do a TV show called NTSF SD SUV on Adult Swim.
Absolutely.
Thursday nights, 12:15. This week, Adam Scott. So check that out. Thank you guys for listening. Bye-bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio. Boom.com. Oh, oh, oh. The wolf dead.